Let me just do a quick review of last week, and then we'll move into our lesson for this evening. Last week, we learned that your understanding of God and His attributes affect every area of your life. What you believe and know and think about God is very important. If you have a misconception about God and what He is really like, you're going to tend to worry about things you have no need to worry about. You're going to feel guilty over things God has no intention of you feeling guilty about. You're going to carry unnecessary burdens all through life. Fears, doubts, depression, all through life that God never intended for you to have because of your misunderstanding on who God actually is. Last week we went to God's Word and looked in the Bible at various names of God to start getting some truths about who God really is. God is so great that the Bible has to use multiple names to describe who He is. One name is not enough to describe how great our God is. Last week we looked at four names, and I hope you can remember those. The first one was Jehovah Jireh, and we saw that how our God, the God of the Bible, the God of the universe, wants to meet and supply your needs. That's who He is. That's His very nature. Jehovah Jireh, the God who wants to meet your needs. A lot of people have a misconception about who God is. I can tell you the truth tonight. He wants to meet your needs. We also looked at God as Jehovah Tsidkenu. He wants to forgive you of all your faults, all your sins, all your shortcomings. He is longing to forgive you and make you right. That's true according to the Scripture. He wants to make you right. We looked at Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, and how He wants to relieve your stress and give you peace. That's who our God is. He doesn't want you running around stressed out and worried. He wants to give you peace. And we looked at that last week. We looked at God as Jehovah Rapha last week, the God that wants to heal your hurts. If you're hurting and heartbroken, we have a God that's goal and desire and attribute is to heal your hurts, and that's who He is. And that was what we looked at last week. Well, tonight we're going to look at some more names of God. And my purpose in this series on the names and titles of God is to help us understand who God really is, so we can have the truth about Him and what He's really like. But before I introduce the name we're going to look at tonight, I want to ask a question. Where do you turn when you need to overcome incredible odds? Where do you turn when you need a miracle? Some of you here tonight are having serious family problems, and you need a miracle. Some of you here tonight are having serious financial problems, and you need a miracle. Some of you here tonight are having serious medical problems, and you need a miracle. Some of you here tonight are stressed out, worried to death, and you need a miracle tonight to get straightened out. What are we supposed to do? Who are we supposed to turn to? What do we do when life seems hopeless? Who has the answer for us? Who is able to really turn around the things in our life that are causing us all these problems? Well, I have good news for you here tonight. I want to introduce you tonight to God that is named Jehovah Nissi, the God of miracles. That is the God we're going to look at tonight. His attribute is He is the God of miracles. If you look in Exodus 17:15 in your King James Bible, you'll see that God is described as Jehovah Nissi. That's who He is. The NIV says, "The Lord is my banner." God is our banner. God is our standard. In the midst of life's battles, He is the one who defends us. And the idea is we can walk around and hold up the banner. God is going to defend me. God is my banner. God is my protector. If I lift Him up, He will take care of me and my family. That's the God we're going to look at tonight, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Another way to translate that is God is my miracle. God is my miracle. If you need a miracle tonight, I know a God that would love to be there for you and give you a miracle tonight. That's His name. That's His attributes. That's His quality. That's how He's described in the Bible. The God who defends you. The God who takes care of you. The God who is your banner. That is the God that we're going to look at tonight. The message tonight is titled, Seven Keys to Overcoming Incredible Odds. And notice there's a lock up there. I'm going to give you seven keys to unlock this mystery on how we can overcome incredible odds based on God's Word. Seven keys to overcoming incredible odds. I would encourage you tonight to write these down, to take notes, dwell upon them this week, and apply them to your life if you're at the place where you need something to help you overcome these incredible odds. We're going to be looking tonight in 2 Chronicles 20. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to go through here the first 25 or 30 verses in 2 Chronicles 20, looking at this concept that God is Jehovah Nissi, the God is my miracle. The God is the one who defends me. So turn to 2 Chronicles 20, and let's read. If you have your thin line Bible, it's on page 381. I don't know if that helps any of you or not. 2 Chronicles 20. And I'm going to read the first couple of verses as we start off. Listen as I read about King Jehoshaphat. And as we read through here, we're going to draw out spiritual applications that will help us overcome incredible odds. 2 Chronicles 20, starting at verse 1. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, with some of the Menuhites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazon Tamar. And so you can see here the background of the story of King Jehoshaphat. Various communities and countries were coming to make war on him. According to verse 2, it says, a vast army is coming. Huge army is coming. And Jehoshaphat is scared. Jehoshaphat is worried. Jehoshaphat sees nothing but a vast army coming to attack him. I think there are people here tonight that are seeing the same thing. As you look out in your life, you see a vast army coming to attack you. Everywhere you turn, you've got situations and problems that look hopeless. Unbelievable. I don't know how to deal with it. It's too big for me. And I need some way to overcome incredible odds. And that's what we're going to look at here in the story of King Jehoshaphat. What he did against this vast army coming against him. And I believe with all my heart that if you apply the principles found in scriptures here that Jehoshaphat faced, God will help you as you deal with the vast army coming against you. So let's look at the seven keys that we're going to draw out of the scripture to help us overcome incredible odds. Key number one, turn to God. Step number one in overcoming incredible odds is to turn to God. Let me read verses 3 and 4. Alarmed, and of course Jehoshaphat was alarmed, this big huge army coming. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. What's the first thing that Jehoshaphat did? He turned to God. He tuned in the antenna to see what God was up to. God, there's this big army coming, and I'm going to tune in to you. I'm going to seek help from you. He turned to God immediately. He didn't try things on his own. He didn't try to work them out. He turned to God first. And that's what I want to say to you tonight. When a vast army is coming against you, turn to God immediately. Don't wait. Don't try things on your own. Turn to Him. What did Jehoshaphat say? He inquired of the Lord. He proclaimed a fast so people could kind of get ready and receive from God. He sought help from God. Jehoshaphat called all the people in the community together to turn to God. And that is the very first principle in overcoming incredible odds, is for you to turn to God. Many of us in America want to do it ourselves. I can do it. I'm big. I'm strong. I'm smart. That's not the biblical way. The principle in this story here about the vast army coming, the first step is to turn to God immediately and tune in to see what He has to say. So let me encourage you, if you're hurting tonight and you need to overcome incredible odds, start turning to God tonight and see what He has to say. Key number two, after you turn to God, talk to God. Let's read 2 Chronicles 20, verses 5 through 12, and we'll see what Jehoshaphat did. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the courtyard and prayed. And this is a prayer. In my Bible, it's kind of indented to show you that it's a prayer. And here's what he prayed. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. And then verse 10, but now here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance? O our God, will you not judge them? What did Jehoshaphat do after he turned to God? He started talking to God. He prayed. And that's what I want you to do. As you are seeking a way to overcome incredible odds, I want you to start talking to God. I want you to pray about your situation. Pray to Jehovah Nissi, the God of miracles, the God who wants to defend you. And take a look closely at what Jehoshaphat prayed. When he prayed, the first thing he did was remind himself of who God is. Look at verse 6 where he says, are you not the God in heaven? When you pray, remind yourself that you're talking to Jehovah Nissi, the God of the universe, the God of the creation, the God that is here to defend you. Remind yourself who's in control. A lot of times we forget, and we need to go back to the beginning and remind ourselves that God is in control. The second thing Jehoshaphat prayed for is that he recalled what God had already done in the past. Look at verse 7. Did you not drive out these inhabitants before? God, you took care of this before. And how many times do we forget how God has helped us in the past? And we forget. So when you pray and ask God, remind yourself of who He is, but also recall in your own mind and pray to Him and thank Him for how He has been there in the past to help you. And then thirdly, in verse 12, he says, will you not judge them again? Ask God to do it again. Ask God to be there for you again like He's done in the past. Ask him to defend you. He's done it before. Ask him to do it again. Key number two, talk to God. Pray. Seek him. Pray first, don't wait. Many of us don't like to pray, but God's waiting on us. He's there waiting, ready to listen. He wants to hear what you have to say. And Jehoshaphat, after he turned to God, he started talking to God. And that's the second thing we need to do if you want to overcome incredible odds. Key number three. This might be hard for some of you. Tell God how you feel. Tell God how you feel. He already knows how you feel. Tell him. Look at verse 12 in the middle there. Here's what Jehoshaphat says, "For we have no power to face this vast army attacking us." Did you hear what Jehoshaphat said? He told God how he felt. "God, I don't have any power. I'm weak. I don't know what we're going to do." When you're facing incredible odds, you don't know what to do. Turn to God and tell him how you feel. Tell him if you're mad. Tell him if you're angry. Tell him if you're confused. Tell him if you're scared. Speak to him. He's ready to listen. And notice what Jehoshaphat said. He admitted that he had no power. "God, I have no power." He admitted that he had a need. And that's what God wants of you. When you start praying and talking to him, he wants you to admit, "God, I can't do it. God, if it's going to happen, it's going to be you. The army's coming against me, and I have no power." That's hard for a lot of us to do. Scripture is very clear that the principle here is that we need to admit that we're weak and God is strong. Admit you're weak and tell him that he is strong. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He told God exactly how he felt and admitted his need. So I want you to turn to God. I want you to talk to God. And then as you're talking, I want you to tell him how you feel. And admit that you can't do it. Admit that he's the one. Key number four. Trust God to help you. Trust God to help you. Look at the end of verse 12. "We do not know what to do, God, but our eyes are upon you." We're looking to you. You're the one. We're going to trust you. And then look down to verse 15. "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God." The battle is not yours, but God. Point number four, you need to trust God to help you. Focus on God, not your problem. God wants you to focus on him. How many times do we keep looking at our problem and looking at our problem and looking at our problem and never look up to God? Our musical we did Wednesday night for the 9/11 service was "Lift Up Your Eyes." That's where the hope is. We need to look to God. Focus on Jehovah Nissi. He is the God who can defend you. Verse 12, "Our eyes are on you." Look to God. Focus on him. Let God fight your battles. The battle is his, not ours. Look at verse 15 again. "Do not be afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's." It seems very clear that Jehoshaphat trusted God to help him overcome these incredible odds. There's a saying here that I love. Look at the world and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look at Christ and be at rest. Look to Him. Look to Him. Trust God to help you. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He looked to God to help him. Key number one, turn to God. Key number two, talk to God. Key number three, tell God how you feel. Key number four, trust God to help you. Key number five, seek support. Seek support. Look at verse 13. Flip back to verse 13. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Did you see what happened here? All the people came together to seek the Lord. They weren't isolated. They weren't alone. They weren't by themselves. They came together. We need to learn to let others come with us, to pray for us, to help us, to give us wise counsel, to encourage us. That's what the people did. Vast army coming, and they all came together to love one another, encourage one another, support one another. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you need to seek support when you're facing incredible odds. God has provided many people to help you and to give you direction and to counsel you and to pray with you. Don't go it alone. We're not made to do things alone. Seek support. That's how God made us, and that's how God wants to work in your life, is for others to help you. So key number five, seek support. Do not go it alone. Key number six. This may be a real hard one for us in America. Relax in the Lord. Relax. Let's read verse 17 together. Let me read that here for you. Verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Did you hear that? He told the Jehoshaphat and all his people to relax in the Lord. You're not even going to have to fight the battle. The battle is mine. The Lord will deliver. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. Relax. Isn't that exciting? That we have a God called Jehovah Nissi that is our defender, and we can relax in Him and let Him move and let Him work. We don't have to do all the fighting and the running. God's very nature is to defend us. And that's what He told Jehoshaphat here. Relax in Me. Turn to Me, and I will deliver you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And I'm here to tell you tonight to trust God. Relax in Him. Have faith in Him tonight. That's the sixth key. Key number seven. Key number seven. Thank God in advance. Thank God in advance. Look at verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for His splendor and the holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." Jehoshaphat started thanking God before the battle even happened. He thanked God in advance. He praised God in advance for overcoming the incredible odds before they were even overcome. And that's the seventh key into overcoming incredible odds, is to thank God in advance. Give thanks to Him for what He is going to do. Because I'm here to tell you, there's power in praising God. There's power in praising Him. And thanking Him in advance is very important. If you thank God after the fact, that's gratitude. If you thank God before it happens, that's faith. And that's where God is calling us tonight, is to be people of faith. Do we really trust Him? Do we have faith? Do we think and trust God enough to thank Him in advance? And that's what Jehoshaphat did. They thanked God in advance. They put the singers in the choir right out front. Praise God. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for the victory. Thank you. And that is a principle that we need to learn as people today when we need to overcome incredible odds, is to thank God in advance. Thank Him now. Praise Him now for what He will do in the future. Well, those are the seven keys. Those are the seven steps. But what's the rest of the story? What happens to King Jehoshaphat when he follows the seven principles laid out? What happens? Let's take a look at the results of praising God in advance. The first result, look at verse 22. I'm going to read 22 through 24. As they began to sing and praise, remember they're doing this in advance, so they're out there singing and praising God, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. I'm here to tell you the results of praising God in advance and facing your problems God's way is victory. God does not want you to run from your problems. God has got principles set in Scripture that He wants to bring you through them and give you victory. And I'm here to tell you, if you follow these keys and put your faith in God and thank Him and talk to Him and get tuned into Him and praise Him, He will bring victory. He will bring victory. He'll also bring blessing to your life. Look at verse 25. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. 3 days. God blessed Jehoshaphat. Remember back at verse 1 and 2, there's a vast army coming. Oh my, what am I going to do? I don't know. And then when we get to verse 25, we got blessing. We got victory. Did Jehoshaphat fight the battle? No. Did Jehoshaphat come up with this great plan? No. God did it. Jehoshaphat and the people tuned in to God, talked to God, told them how they felt, prayed, relaxed, and praised Him in advance, and God brought blessing to them. That's the principle of Scripture I want you to see tonight. Turn to Him, and you'll receive blessings. The third thing, the third result of praising God, verse 30, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. The third result of praising God in advance, the third result of facing your problems God's way, is peace of mind and rest. I believe all of us in here are looking for peace of mind and rest. I know I get tired of fighting these battles, but God tells me to relax in Him and let Him fight the battles, and He'll give me peace. He'll give me rest. Yes, God, Jehovah Nissi, still works miracles today if we face our problems God's way, not our way. And that's the big problem. We want everything our way. We want to do it my way, my way, my way. And I'm here to encourage you tonight to give it up and do it God's way and receive the victory, receive the blessing. Receive the peace that He can give. Turn to God tonight. Talk to God tonight. Tell God how you feel. Trust God in advance. Seek support. Relax. And God will bring victory to you. He'll bring blessing to you. He'll give you peace. Let me share with you some recent miracles in Christ. The fall of the Iron Curtain with no shots fired. I believe that's a miracle of God. Most of us here remember the Cold War. We were all just waiting for nuclear war to take action and break out. God brought the fall of the Soviet Union without a shot fired. How about the Berlin Wall? It's down. It's gone. How about Korea and the Pacific Rim area? Huge revivals breaking out as people all over are realizing that God is who He really is and that Christ is the Son. We're seeing hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ in that area. One of our missionaries told us a startling statistic the other day. There's more Christians in China now than America. Not percentage-wise, but total numbers, more Christians in China than America. God's still doing them things. God's still in the miracle business. God's still doing things. For you sports fans, Deion Sanders is now a follower of Christ. He's got a new life. You know what kind of a wreck he was before. Tried to kill himself, drugs, everything. He's a follower of Christ now. God changed him. Jane Fonda's a follower of Christ now. God changed her. Chris Mortensen, ESPN analyst, follower of Christ. God took him and changed his life. And I'm here to tell you, God is in the life-changing business. Miracles still happen. But I know what you're thinking. There's people here tonight thinking that my problem is too big for God. God is not big enough to deal with it. Well, we look at Jehoshaphat, and there was a vast army coming, and that's what he felt. God, I don't know what to do. I got to turn to you. And I'm here to encourage you tonight to turn to God, because He is the God of miracles. No problem is too big for Him. No person in here tonight has problems that God cannot take over. I'm going to ask one of our dear friends to come up, Lee Carter. I'm going to ask her to share her personal experience about how she met Jehovah Nissi, the God who defended her, the God who brought a miracle. I'm going to ask her to come and share how she overcame incredible odds with the help of our Lord. Lee, why don't you come up and share?
Hello. I'm asking God for that relaxed thing right now.
Amen.
As Bryant said, my name is Lee Carter. I do know very well Jehovah Nissi. I'd like to share with you tonight how I met this awesome God. I grew up in what was, for the most part, a non-Christian home. My father was an alcoholic. He was often unpredictable and sometimes violent. My mother painfully endured, privately relying on her faith to sustain her. As my home life deteriorated, I began to search for security and belonging in alcohol and material possessions. By the age of 14, I discovered I had an inheritance, and that was a love of alcohol. This love affair grew steadily during the remainder of my teens. I met my husband at age 17, and we married when I was 22. He had professed faith in Christ as a boy, but was not walking closely with the Lord when we met. When we married, he was still in college, and I had finished nursing school. So I assumed the role as head of the household. I was chief breadwinner and money spender. We embraced a partying lifestyle during those years. And after he graduated from college, he joined the military, and we left home for the first time. The military was a life that was conducive to overindulgence of alcohol. The demands of the Air Force kept my husband so busy that I continued to run the finances in our home. I already had proven myself to have the inability to manage money, and so as the debts mounted and control was slipping from my grasp, I began to lie and deceive my husband about the state of our financial affairs. The years passed and I continued to weave a web of deceit, hiding not only our mounting debt, but my growing dependence on alcohol. I had also developed a thyroid disease. It went undiagnosed and mistreated for some time. I began to get depressed. Guilt, frustration about my situation and my past mistakes were overwhelming me. I needed more and more alcohol to drown out the reality, to be able to cope with life. At times during these years, my husband and I felt the need to go to church, to include God in our lives, but we could never make that commitment. Although God was calling me, I had convinced myself that he wouldn't want someone like me to call him father. I had become completely enslaved to alcohol and money, and I was deeply depressed. Life was no more than a deep dark pit, and I began to entertain thoughts of how everyone's life would be better if I weren't here. I was clearly a disappointment to my husband, failing him as a partner, jeopardizing his career. As a mother, I was even worse. This was a breaking point. I'd finally found my way to the bottom of that pit. Irrational thinking resulted in no desire to live. That, combined with heavy drinking and my thyroid disease, led to a failed attempt and a complete emotional breakdown. I was taken to a local hospital and admitted to the psychiatric ward. It was here in a total state of brokenness that I began to search for the one who had been calling my name all those years. My husband's childhood pastor came to visit me in the hospital, and during his 3-hour stay, my search ended and he led me to Jesus Christ. Jesus had called my name, wanting me and waiting for me, even after a lifetime of me not wanting him. He invited me to lay down my burdens in exchange for his peace. After years of trusting alcohol as my comforter, I've been introduced to the true comforter. This fact was immediately evident. As peace swept through my soul, I could physically feel the weight of the world being lifted from my shoulders. Alcohol and the love of money had provided the resemblance of happiness, but it was only temporary. Their demands had drained me of the will to go on. But now I had the one who was for me all the time, the one who would keep his promises, requiring nothing more of me than my love and faithfulness. God began to bless me and my family immediately. I had been forgiven and immediately set free from the bondage of alcohol. He gave me peace with my role as a mother and wife and gave me a strong desire to serve him. I watched my husband rededicate his life to Christ, restoring his faith and enabling him to take his place as the spiritual and financial head of our household. My 2 children were saved a few months later, making our family whole through Christ. Although I had created many financial burdens and emotional scars for my family, God's been guiding us through, rebuilding our family on a firmer foundation. I urge you today, if God is calling you to himself, don't trust your life to your own determination or the empty pleasures of alcohol, drugs, or material possessions. God stands waiting and ready to release you from bondage and set you free to a life in Christ. For if the Son of God sets you free, you're free indeed.
Wow. Isn't God amazing? Jehovah Nissi, the God who defends, the God who helps us overcome incredible odds. He's here to help you tonight. He wants to help you tonight. And when I think about how great God is, you may even be wondering tonight, what's the greatest thing God can do? Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want to share with you God's greatest miracle. I want us to read it as a congregation tonight, as a body here. Let's all look at the screen and let's read this together. When a person becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. That's God's greatest miracle. You get a new life. When you come to Christ, you get a whole new life. You don't just turn over a new leaf, you get a new life, just like Lee Carter got. Jehovah Nissi is out there waiting for you. That's what God is really like. A lot of you have misconceptions on who God is, and I'm here to tell you who the real God is tonight. And you can have a new life in Christ tonight if you need a new life. If things are just way out of control, you need a miracle, you need to come to Christ tonight and get a whole new life. How do you do it? It's easy as following the ABCs. A, admit your faults to God. Tell God you messed up, you sinned, you missed the mark, you failed. B, believe in Christ that He died for you, that He rose again for you, that He took your place. You should have been the one punished, but He took your place. And then C, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. That just means confess Him as the Master. He's number one. He's in the driver's seat. That's all you got to do is come to Him. Seek Him tonight. As we close, I'm going to have the musicians come up and play. And there's two things I want you to think about tonight. Number one, if you need a miracle tonight to overcome incredible odds, I want you to come and pray at the altar tonight and just ask God to be there for you. Come to Jehovah Nissi tonight and tell Him you need a miracle. Tune in to Him. Talk to Him. Ask Him. Relax in Him and praise Him in advance. Number two, maybe you need a whole new life tonight. Not just turning over a new leaf. You need a whole new life. I'm going to ask you to come and say your ABCs. I'll be here to greet you if you want to come and talk to me. I'll share with you and pray with you on how to be a Christian. But I believe this message is for us tonight. I know it was for me tonight. I needed to hear it. Because I try to carry things on my own shoulders at times, and that's not how God's plan is. He wants us to turn everything to Him. Tune in to Him. Talk to Him. Let Him fight your battle. And so as we close tonight, and as Bethany sings, I want you to come and give Him your problems, or come and receive a new life in Christ.